Welcome, everybody. Woo, we're all here together. You're listening to Birth of a New Earth. This is Janice Barcello speaking here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I am delighted to be here today. I really missed you folks over the last 2 weeks. The station had been running reruns to celebrate the holiday, so I'm glad to be back with you live today. And I have two very special and very important guests with me today. I have Alfred and Monica Schaefer, and they are going to be discussing their personal experience of spending time in jail for telling the truth about the Jewish holohoax, the fake Jewish holohoax. And these are two people who have not been willing to back away from the truth. They're standing strong in it. And have suffered some interesting consequences, although I know Alfred, for one, has made a tremendous joke of it all, actually. I've always been impressed with his stamina and refusal to back down. So welcome, Alfred and Monica, to the show. I'm really glad to have you both here. Can you hear me?
Yes, and thank you for having us, Janice. Thank you.
My name is Janice, just to clarify.
Janice, yeah, Janice, right, get the pronouncing right. Thank you.
All right. Monica, can you hear us too?
I sure can. Here, okay. I'm here.
All right. So I'm going to ask one of you, whoever you think is best suited to answer this question. How did this all start, that the both of you ended up having to go spend time in jail?
Well, I began making videos after I had had an email dialogue with the gatekeeper known as Noam Chomsky, and it had only to do with 9/11, and that was about the dialogue took place in 2013, and the video was uploaded in 2014, and it was after this email dialogue where I had been that the Americans were hammering into me, you know, this guy's a gatekeeper. When I was always trying to make excuses for Noam Chomsky pretending not to understand the details of 9/11, because I had myself only recently at that time learned these details. So I thought, well, if I had only recently learned it, maybe he's also innocent of, willfully deceiving us or something. And the people that were way ahead of me in that awakening were constantly pounding into me. That was in my blogs, and they were saying, no, he is a gatekeeper. And anyway, after that, the whole dialogue was over, I said, well, these people who so helped me to learn what that is, a gatekeeper, we need to do something with that to pass this educational value on to other people. And then I thought at that time, how do we reach people? And I says, well, I guess videos is the best way because people don't really read that much anymore, and their attention spans are fairly short and so forth. And then I studied how to make videos on the internet basically, and dived into that. And that was my first video project, which was 9/11 gatekeepers and controlled opposition. And that project just exhausted me because it really was a lot of work. But then things kept going, and I thought that's the only video I'm ever going to make. But then more and more stuff kept piling up as we were, learning more and more, digging deeper into the rabbit hole. And then it was Monica who had once told me on the telephone how guilty she felt about reprimanding our mother for how she just didn't want to believe our mother when she claimed she didn't know anything about this horrible fate that the Jews had suffered after they had been indoctrinating us with this in the Canadian schools, school system. And my sister would always say, I'll let Monica go into that part then. In fact, I'll pass the mic on to Monica now as she can go into that.
Yeah, that's right. So Alfred was the first to really go deep into the 9/11 thing. He shared this with family members, and I responded because I had already caught wind from some friends of mine already years earlier. He told me something about a 9/11 truth movement, and I was pretty wide-eyed, didn't have computer at home yet, and I was busy with life, but I was definitely interested. So when Alfred in about 2011 did alert family members to this big false flag operation 9/11, I was very much ready to absorb this, and I wanted to learn more and more. So that's what we did. And from then we went kind of on this parallel journey, became, a team in helping each other to uncover and learn more and learn more. And then, of course, like Alfred says, down the rabbit hole we go, and we figured out that lying wasn't invented in 2001. Okay, so as far as go ahead.
It's so long because we have a very limited amount of time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming at some point you got to understanding that the Jews were responsible for 9/11, yes?
Exactly. That was very early on. In fact, with this initial outreach that Alfred did to the family, he was already saying Israel and Jews in the same sentence as 9/11. And this was shocking to me, Janice, because we've been so programmed to shrink back at that word Jew, and we're never allowed to point a finger at them for anything other than the poor persecuted Jews and or the talented great, Jewish talent, like in terms of, musician or this or that. That's a whole nother story. But anyway,
I want to share with you that it was at the same time that you are both talking about that I was also being bombarded with information about the Jews and the lies that we've been told. And I was like you. I refused to even look at it at first for about 2 years.
Well, the most common question also coming from the other siblings in our family was, why would our best friend do that to us? But you have to understand the relationship between a host and a parasite. Now, the parasite loves the host, but the host should not be in love with a parasite because the parasite is leeching, is sucking. Just like mosquitoes will love you to death, but I don't think you love mosquitoes as much as they love you.
And I don't think the parasite in this case, the Jews certainly do not love us. They have as their agenda to destroy us.
Of course, you're right. And of course you're right. But they love the host for what they can leech out of the host, but they don't really love the host. Of course you're right.
Yes, exactly. So please continue with your story, Monica.
Yeah, so then finally after figuring out the World War II true history, and really there's just so many layers of it, and I was just beginning to figure it out, but okay, I figured out that this Holocaust story was false. And I did recall in my teenage years when we had been learning about these lampshades and soap and shrunken heads in school, probably junior high school, I think it was, that I had really reproached my mom. And I was very traumatized by this all because, you know, we were first generation Canadians from German immigrant parents in Canada. And so, just asking her, why didn't you stop these horrors from happening? And she genuinely didn't know about it. She was telling the truth to me when she said we just didn't know. I'm fully convinced that our parents both came to believe all those lies, just like most of our other relatives came to believe all those lies after the war. And in fact, it was relatives who snitched on us shortly after we made this video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. That was in 2016, and it was relatives who formerly had been very close to us. We were very close to this whole family clan of people, and they called the authorities. They put us on the map.
God, I did not know it was your family that revealed you to the quote-unquote authorities. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would imagine that these kinds of things happened during the witch-burning times, too, you know? I mean, the people have just been so indoctrinated. They thought they were doing good, Janice. And I can sum it up in about, I don't know how many words, I've counted them, 10 words or something, how they put it. Germany was bad. Now Germany is good, and you are making Germany bad again. And that middle part, when they say Germany, now Germany is good, of course what they're talking about is the opening of the gates to all the flood of invaders. And by us negating or talking about this period of time when Germany supposedly was bad, and we don't believe it, we don't believe the lies, we are making Germany bad again, and we will... Our behavior will lead directly to the next Holocaust. I mean, this is what the people in Jasper told me all the time, you know, that I would cause the next Holocaust, me personally.
You know, what Monica is describing is the very successful indoctrination that we have been subjected to. Just like you will condition your dog to believe what is good and what is bad, you can condition your dog to rip off the heads off little blonde children, for example, and your dog will really believe he's doing the right thing, because every time he does that, he gets a doggy biscuit and you might scratch him under his chin and behind his ears, and he loves that. And that's how the Jews have conditioned us like dogs to believe what they want us to believe is good, and to believe what they want us to believe is bad, and to fight their wars for them, and to even roll up our sleeve and get injected with rat poison because we are believing that we are being threatened by something called COVID, Corona, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And this is the extent to which they now have the entire world's population doing their bidding, and their primary weapon, well, it's the deception, but then it's the money. And we need money in our complex structure, civilizational structures, to live. I mean, you need money to pay the rent. You need money to do anything you want to do. And they've always, ever since that thing called money has been in our has existed, they have learned how to get a hold of it and condition the host population to do their bidding. And I don't think in all of human history they've ever taken it as far as they have this time around. And we know what the outcome is going to be in the end. It's the outcome we've always seen over 1,000 times when they get tossed out of their host population countries. And that's where we find ourselves today.
You know, in terms of tossing them out of yet another country, people should know that they've been tossed out of over 1,000 municipalities, not 1,000 countries, but municipalities. They've been kicked out again and again and again, pretty much wherever they go. However, they always weasel their way back in. So I'm at the point where, you know, I've decided we can't coexist with these creatures. We have to expel them from the earth. There's got to be a way without hurting anybody, because we're not them. We're not like them. We're not murderers, you know, unless our lives are threatened, which they are right now. But in any event, we need to expel them from the earth. That's my personal opinion, because they are the most destructive entities in the entire universe. I don't know of any more destructive entities than these creatures.
It's very true. They are, well, this is, you know, Eustace Mullins, this was already before 9/11 when he had stated, and what he was observing, he says, this will lead to a biological response. And that's exactly true. This is going to lead to a biological response, because we will do whatever it takes to overcome the Jewish plague. And the Jews themselves are now determining the level of violence and whatever there is going to happen to them. They are now determining it. Much like if you have drunk too much, you're pouring all kinds of beer and wine and schnapps into your belly. No matter how expensive it is, no matter how good it is, your stomach, you will eventually get this urge, an ever-intensifying urge to vomit. And when there comes a point in time when you can no longer hold it back, and you will vomit all over your best carpet, your best sofa, and whoever is sitting in front of you, if you do not stop, like, filling your stomach with that which is causing this revulsion. And that's the biological response. And that's what's happening now, because I notice myself how gaslighting now and making and total fools of us, trying to make us, you know, just spewing utter nonsense on the mainstream media, trying to still fool the zombies or something. This is energizing a revulsion, and it's going to explode, much like a volcano will only stay dormant until it can no longer contain the rising, increasing in magnitude and temperature of the magma beneath. And that's what's happening now. The entire world, the rage is now growing at exponential rates. And them to say stuff like, you know, the side effects of the vaccinations are because of the unvaccinated. I mean, they're coming up with stuff like that, and that is pure, utter, just pathetic. It just makes me vomit when they come up with stuff like that.
Well, I think too, the awakening is happening in large part because so many people are dropping dead that are jabbed. I've been keeping a running blog on this, on all of these people, all of these athletes dropping dead live on TV. There's no way they're going to get around it. And so I'm assuming when you talk about this magma that needs to rise up, you're talking about the rage that the non-Jews are feeling right now at having been manipulated to this extent to accept poison, complete poison. And it's not just affecting those who are vaccinated. It's affecting everybody. Because they're shedding.
Absolutely.
You experienced that yourself, didn't you, Janice?
I did, and I'm still experiencing it. And I need to go confirm whether or not this has affected my heart in a very serious way. You know, I'm better in terms of the flu-like symptoms. But, man, there's residual stuff. And I've no doubt that this is a result of being touched and hugging a triple jabbed, my triple.
Oh my God!
Chiropractor.
You know, just before I read a little thing, it said confirmed the pilots who have been vaccinated can no longer fly because there's been too many incidents. Well, they had told the pilots that if they don't get vaccinated, they will lose their job. And now those who have been vaccinated can't fly because of the increasing incidents, you know. So, I used to work for IBM, and there's a point I heard some time back, IBM is expecting its employees to become vaccinated. When a corporation, a company, or anybody starts injecting its own employees with rat poison, I mean, like, here's the poisoned well, you have to drink out of it if you want to continue working here. That is absolute, complete, and total insanity, such as the likes of, I couldn't imagine possible. I mean, this is just so insane. And that creates, and once people begin to understand what they've been injected with, they might not, at first it's disbelief. You know, I mean, it was after 9/11, they were maybe upset when they were, when they got checked for box cutters in their running shoes or in their underpants or something. But now they've been, they can remove the idiot diaper, I call that mask, you know, the silly mask, but they cannot remove the stuff they've been injected with. And that is a pure bioweapon. And we know how it works. And it's horrible. I mean, it's a lot like if you inhale asbestos into your lung, it you might not drop dead right away, but you will eventually, and there's no getting out of it. So this is so that's what the whole world is facing right now.
Yeah, you could, sorry Denise, I'll just add to what Alfred said, like about in calling it insanity. However, from their perspective, those who wish to have us dead and depopulate this planet by, you know, a huge amount, it's actually their plan. So you could say, well, it's not really their insanity because they're planning it. Like Maurice Strong, he was a Canadian guy, he's dead now. He said back in 1992, this would have been perhaps leading up to the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, or perhaps it was right after that. It was around that time, and he was chair of that big summit, the Earth Summit, which at the time we all thought, oh, isn't this wonderful, all these people getting together to save the planet. That's when I was still very much asleep at the wheel. But what they really were doing is getting ready for, you know, using the lies of this so-called climate change hoax to cause us to decrease our carbon footprint, making us think that carbon is poison, whereas it's actually the stuff of life. Anyway, he said at the time, he said, okay, well, will people voluntarily reduce their impact on the earth? Probably not. And so isn't it our obligation to collapse Western civilization so that we can save the planet? Yes, it is our obligation to do this, to collapse Western civilization to save the planet. That's what he said. That was the plan. And that's back in 1992. And I mean, I think the plans go way back further than that. You know, in the 70s, they went one year to the next where they said, we're all going to freeze. It's the new ice age is coming. And the very next year, they turned it around. And the same people were saying, oh, we're going to have global warming. I mean, they're just making it up as they go. However, their intent has been there all along to depopulate the planet.
Yeah, the intent is actually to take over the earth. I really do not think these creatures are human. Okay, the masterminds behind this are not human. They're from another place, and their intention is to take this planet. And the problem with these creatures is that wherever they go, they destroy whatever planets they're on. In a sense, it's a very interesting history if you're willing to look into the Anunnaki and the entities that are running the show and that many people are actually worshiping. The irony is, within evil lies the seed of its own destruction. So these entities brought here what we call civilization. Okay, they are the ones that brought this here. Prior to that time, we lived like all other earth-based creatures. We lived in accordance with the divine plan. We didn't go paving over things and poisoning things. That is not part of the human condition. That is part of the alien imposition of a system that is now collapsing. Okay, so with evil lies the seed of its own destruction. The system must collapse because the system is evil. It is based on poison. It is based on parasitism. It is based on tyranny and theft. What is taxes? What the hell are we paying the Jews money for? When did they come to own the earth that we need to pay them to have a piece of land? What the hell is going on? Go ahead.
You know, this evil is so it's unfathomable for a normal human being. And I always say, unless you have dealt with a real psychopath, you can only begin to understand this level of evil if you've ever had a long run in or encounter with a real psychopath, because this is just so beyond anything we can comprehend. And every single part of what they call a Judaic faith or Jewish religion is really like an operating system for these entities to detach their soul, their spirit from humanity. It is so, I mean, whether it's the rabbi who is encouraged to rape non-Jewish three-year-old girls and then kill them because they are guilty of seducing him, that is to overcome any rest empathy that may still be plaguing him. Now, no normal human being can stoop that evil, that low, and do such a thing, and yet that is part of their practicing to become a good Jew. And these are the rabbis who are doing this sort of stuff. They are keeping the tribe, the herd together, and all the Jews who are who don't escape from that this insanity are like sleepers, are there to do their bidding whenever they are called upon. And they are in all the countries in the world to, you know, everything they were telling us that the evil Muslims were with their sleeper cells and so forth after 9/11, they were really only describing their own characteristics because, exactly. I mean, the Jews did 9/11.
Pardon? I was just reading about the Black Plague. I was reading about for thousands of years, these people have been poisoning us, poisoning the wells. And they get other Jews to put the poison in the wells. Literally, you know, 2,000 years ago, they'd go door to door to Jewish homes and hand them a bag of poison. And the Jewish people would put the poison in the wells. These are the sleeper cells. What you said before, Alfred, in terms of it's like an AI programming, literally. I don't think that they're fully human. I think Jews were created by the Anunnaki in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to be flat out. I think the Garden of Eden was an Anunnaki genetic laboratory. And I think the Jews were created in that place as a mixture of Anunnaki and human. But what you said, Alfred, is that they're being conditioned to push aside, push away their human part, their soul, so that they can operate like the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki have no feelings. Go ahead.
Yeah. What this behavior leads to, this behavior can only be successful as long as it's in a limited geographical area, and they can sort of move on when they exterminate the host population that they have just sucked all the blood out of. But this time, because it's global and because they have got the white race in the crosshairs for extermination as the best of the goyim that deserve to be exterminated, they have just overreached and taken all of our positive characteristics and twisted and turned them against us. And this is so unforgiving, so unforgivable. When some little parasite has been like this, they've been gloating with glee since just after what we call the Second World War, when they were looking down from the mountains of dead people, primarily white people. They're looking down and rubbing their hands and saying, the destiny of the white race now is in our hands. And they thought, yeah, they were so happy when they were thinking, this is the last generation of white children playing with white children. After this, we will make them believe it is modern and cool to interbreed with the other races, and then we will make a Negroid, a darker race that will have no chance. They cannot challenge us anymore. And that's how they thought they can attain world domination. But all people who have understood this, you know, for hundreds of years, have always said if the Jews win, they can only destroy the planet. They can rule over a place that will resemble where they came from, and that is pure hell. Everything they are doing now is not just killing civilization, but it's killing the nature, like whether it's chemtrails, whether it's the stuff they're putting in the water, and like you were saying before, they've been poisoning the wells for 2,000 years. Now, if you look at the COVID corona pandemic, yeah, it's a repeat.
the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Oh, can you see it, baby? You don't have to close your eyes.
Let's jump right back in. Let me ask Monica and Alfred to remember to unmute themselves. Do you folks want to take callers, or how do you feel?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think callers are great because it gives us a feel for how people are waking up and what's on their minds. Absolutely, yes.
All right. Let's take Monica's all for it, too. I see the little – okay, thanks, Monica.
Yeah.
Charlie, are you there? What do you want to share?
For you and one for your callers. I'll ask the question. I'll ask you first my question. You mentioned something about the Jews being made by the Anunnaki, and that you think that the Anunnaki, you didn't think that, or they don't have feelings and stuff. Is there something, a link or something you can share where I could do some research into that? Because I hadn't heard that before, but I'm willing to, you know, open up and listen to it and look at it and find out what I can find out about that.
Okay. What I would recommend, two things. The Ringing Cedars books, which I've mentioned multiple times. Charlie, if you want to email me at JaniceBarcello@yahoo.com, I'll be happy to send a link where you can get those books. I will say that I did not read in the Ringing Cedars books that the Jews were created in the Garden of Eden or anything like that. That's something that I've come to based on everything that I've put together. What I did read in the Ringing Cedars books, there's a scene where they are on another planet, and there are beings that look like us, but are not like us. They're very technologically advanced. There's no plants or grass or trees or anything on their planet. It is all technological structures and machines that they live amongst, and they have no feelings. They have little to no feelings, and they operate from a hive mind, meaning they are receiving their orders about what they're supposed to do next, and they can carry out those orders over many millennia. And we see this in the Jews, absolutely, who've had an agenda to take over the earth for multiple centuries. You know, everywhere they've gone, entire civilizations are brought to the ground. They do this over and over and over again. It's all through the Bible. So we just need to put two and two together. I just also ordered a book, a Kindle book on Amazon, and the book is called Reptilian Wars, a 50,000 year update. And I recommend that book because it is going into detail about the Anunnaki and about their arrival on the earth, about the fact that these gods are still being worshipped to this day by multiple religions, including the Judeo-Christian, what we call the Judeo-Christian tradition. So yeah, it's time. Now is the time for awakening to all of this, so we understand the history of our earth. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just not far from what Rudolf Steiner was telling us. He came out years ago and said that the a lot of these people were from a technological society in the past, and that they had little feelings, and that's what they're pushing towards now. And he believes that this is So it's not far from what he was saying. I really appreciate it. As for your speakers and your guests, I really enjoyed them. I've heard them a couple of times on some of the other shows, and I just wanted to find one of them, or both of them, was in jail. Is that correct, or was in prison? Not because of their beliefs.
I'm going to let them talk to you.
Actually, okay, we were both in prison. Now, Monica was arrested first. She was arrested in January of 2018. And then they put us on trial together, and she had already been in prison for 6 months at that point in time. And then the trial went for something like almost 4 months. And then she was released when the trial was over because they gave her 10 months and says, okay, well, you've served that now. And then they locked me up, and I've been, then they hired a second trial, for which I got 4 years, and I just got out now 6 months ago. But now I'm again facing the Inquisition, so it's really bizarre. They kind of want me locked up again, but I'm not sure if they're just doing this to give us I call it a Muppet show to entertain us, really. I mean, I cannot in any way, shape, or form take them seriously anymore. And I was on trial just earlier this week. And it went very fast, but it was the lowest level court, and now we're taking it to another, you know, the next level, and I kind of believe this whole system is going to blow up before we even get to that point. But this trial,
a little trivial note, Alfred. I didn't think of it that day, but that was exactly 5 years to the day after I was arrested, January.
Oh, correct, 3rd, Monica. It was the 3rd of January. Yeah,
that's right, January 3rd. Yeah.
I wonder if you could tell people why you got arrested.
Why don't I talk about that a little bit?
Sure, Monica, you start and then I'll tell them about my case now. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is this, you know, paragraph 130 in Germany, and many, many other countries have a similar laws which forbid you from questioning or talking about any other version of World War II history than the officially promoted and pushed Jewish version of World War II history, which would, the main thing there that they don't want us to question or to investigate is their Holocaust narrative, this 6 million thing, which, by the way, 6 million, you know, persecuted Jews, 6 million lost souls, 6 million, that's been around for many, many, many years, way before Adolf Hitler came on the scene, just for those who aren't familiar with that, but that seems to be their magic number, 6 million of them. So
let me clarify that, Monica, before you go on, that the Jews were putting in the media for decades before World War II that there were 6 million Jews at risk of extermination. That number has popped up many, many times prior to World War II.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's their some kind of a cultish magic number. I would say just to kind of segue from what you were talking about, I haven't gone down this road of researching about Anunnaki and all that. And I tend not to believe that, but I can't really comment too much because I really haven't done the kind of research that you've done, Janice. I just think that we need to deal with the problem that exists now. One thing that gives me great hope about it is that the Jews, those who call themselves Jews, they fear the truth coming out. That's why they are so absolutely going crazy about censorship and whatnot. But the truth will out. The truth always rises to the surface, always, because the lies keep shifting, just like they keep shifting, shape-shifting. You can never keep lies forever. The truth will out. And that does give me a lot of hope. And you see, their laws, they are trying to enshrine a piece of history by force. What else do you call it if they lock up people for having a different view?
It's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. You talked earlier about how Germany is now considered good. Well, yeah, Germany is good because they're giving the Jews money in reparations for something that the German people never did. In fact, it was the German people that were freaking slaughtered.
Yes.
During
it's opposite.
World War II, and it is the Jews that should be paying reparations to the German people and to all European people that suffered during World War II, and they should be paying reparations to the blacks for slavery. They twist everything and it gets turned on its head. It's the Jews that brought slavery to the United States. It was their ships. They owned the whole slave trade.
Yeah, so they do project onto their victims that which they do. That is exactly right. And the double and triple and quadruple tragedy of it is not only do they destroy their host, and they really did set out to utterly destroy Germany and Germans, but then the German people cannot even grieve their own losses because they are given this guilt trip of what they it's projected onto them that they did these evil things, and they didn't even do these evil things, and it was done to them. And if they dare to look into the history of, you know, for example, Dresden, how many people actually died there, then they're called, you know, evil people, evil Nazis or whatever, and all these weaponized words are used against them to even look at the history. I mean, the whole thing is just so utterly twisted and turned and continues to be right to this present day. Like you were talking earlier about, both of you were talking about the gaslighting and telling us the opposite of what's going on in terms of, you know, the vaccination, the so-called vaccination, while they're poisoning us, right?
Well, yes.
And then blaming us.
I just want to bring it back because I want people to understand how you ended up in prison.
Right.
If I have recollection, you were in a courtroom supporting somebody else, right, Monica?
Yeah, so Sylvia Stoltz, she was on trial. Now, just in a nutshell, I'll give it very briefly because I know we don't have a lot of time. She did her job too well as a lawyer defending Ernst Zundel back in 2006, 2007, I believe it was. She went to jail for several years. Then when she came out, she gave a speech in which she described the legal situation in Germany. And this speech was given in Switzerland, not even in Germany. But then she was charged in Germany with the things she said in her speech. And then one of those trial dates, because these things drag on, and there was many trial dates for her too, but one of these trial dates was January 3rd, 2018. She was a hero to me. I wanted to meet her, and I wanted to see what does this look like, a speech crime trial in Germany, because I happened to be visiting Alfred, who has been living in Germany since decades, by the way, just to give a little bit of that information background to people. So we were all raised in Canada. This is, you know, we're Canadian, but, and then Alfred did sort of this reverse migration, you could say, back to the old country. And so we went into Munich, which was not that far away, to witness this trial. And 45 minutes in, they did a recess. We didn't really know why. And boom, they arrested me right there, right then and there.
And they arrested you for your video.
Yes, they did.
I was wrong about the Holocaust, yeah?
Yes, exactly. So I did this 6-minute video. People can find it, even though the original channel was taken down, upon which it was. That was Alfred's YouTube channel. Of course, that was all taken down. But many, many, many people re-uploaded it. You can find it. Just type in, "Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust," and you will find that 6-minute video, which got me 10 months of jail, which is, you know, really quite, I kept joking with my friends in prison, gee, Hollywood should come knocking on my door, because I guess this was a powerful little 6 minutes if I could get 10 months out of it, right? So, and to be clear about Alfred's story, I mean, I know, Alfred, you do summarize it, but just to clarify that, so when the verdict came down late October 2018, yes, I was released on time served, 10 months, and Alfred at the time got just over 3 years, like 38 months. Then the following year, there was another trial for the things he said and did in our trial, and they upped it to 4 years. They upped the prison sentence. So imagine that. You go to trial, you would think, and they've always taught us, and when we were learning about these things in school, that that's where, you know, both sides can bring the evidence, and then the judge weighs the evidence and determines what's right and what is correct. Well, in this case, the evidence, bringing evidence, is illegal. You are breaking their laws. Alfred was stopped. I'll just tell this little story. It was kind of amusing. He was stopped by the judge many times as he was speaking in his defense, explaining things, even if they're coming from Jewish sources, by the way, about what they have done to us. And the judge would say, you better stop talking along those lines, because we could press new charges, because that's illegal to say that. And Alfred would basically say, well, you want to lock me up for 6 million years anyway, and I am just speaking truth, so I shall continue speaking. So that's how that went down. I'll pause here.
Okay, we have a caller, and then I want to get to Alfred, because I want him to explain how it is he ended up in jail. I get the part that you just said, Monica, but it's still not clear how he ended up going to jail in the first place. We do have a caller. Let me see. The caller's name is Luca. Luca, are you there?
Yes, I am. Luca Mino from Luca's World. I'm a fellow host.
Oh,
and
hi.
I just wanted to say thank you so much to the woman speaking about what she was talking about. First of all, Sylvia Stoltz. And I had enough time to get her quote up here. It says, quote, "I will go to jail because the truth is worth it for me, and because the German people are worth it." She
right
said,
on.
"They want to change my personal conviction to criminal conviction, but they will fail." Okay? And also, I wanted to very quickly mention the number 6 million. I have a document in my hand that shows the number 6 million going back to 1869.
Yep.
Where they said, 6 million this happened, 6 million this happened. It's a great number that they're throwing around, and that's the newspaper for the record. And all you have to do is go look at what Churchill was doing. Churchill was responsible for genocide from 1897 on, Afghanistan, Iraq. You know, and as far as Germany's concerned, he said that Germany's unforgivable crime before the Second World War was to attempt to extricate herself, her economic power, from the world's trading system and get another exchange mechanism going that would not allow the Rothschilds to profit from. And they said no. And that's why Germany had to be destroyed. It's very simple. And I've gotten thrown out of my own family for not believing the narrative and for, you know, being martyred for going down that road. And that's a very big part of my show, as it was a big part of John Stadtmiller's belief system too, I do believe. So we're honoring him too by speaking of this.
Right on. Thank you so much, Luca, for bringing that into the conversation. Let me stress for people that don't understand the real history of World War II, Germany did kick out the Jewish bankers. Hitler did that, and he created his own currency. It was based on labor, on the work of the German people, and he was able to rebuild his country that had been totally dejected and destroyed by the Jews prior to that, prior to his coming to power. Germany was back on its feet and going strong and beautifully within 3 to 5 years of creating its own currency and with Hitler in power. And they were fighting against communism, Russian communism, which was Jewish from start to finish. Germany, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but before you go to Alfred, I'll just add all these wonderful things you're talking about. Do you know that part of that law, paragraph 130, is you are not permitted to say good things about National Socialist Germany? Isn't that remarkable?
There's so many good things about what was happening in Germany when after Hitler came to power and prior to the destruction of Germany after Judea declared war against Germany. Everybody thinks Hitler started World War II. Nothing could be further from the truth. The lies, everything has been turned on its head. Alfred, I want to bring it back to you because I haven't fully grasped your story. And if you could share it with us in terms of how you ended up in jail.
Yeah, let me just add to what you were saying. Hitler had the Germans had to be destroyed for the same reason that John F. Kennedy was assassinated, because it was after he had signed Executive Order 11110, which would have put the American currency into Americans' hands, America's own hands. That was too much, and then he had to be taken out, and they blamed it on the false patsy Lee Harvey Oswald. But then the Jew Jack Rubinstein killed Lee Harvey Oswald just a couple days later in a high security prison corridor to make sure that there'd be no more questions asked or he wasn't able to talk. So anyway, going back to why I was arrested or why I served 4 years, you see. And at the point when our trial got started, I had pretty much understood how these how they use symbols and so forth to trigger the programs with which we had been indoctrinated in order to set off the emotions that these programs elicit. And that's the Holocaust, National Socialism equals evil, and stuff like that. It's sort of like you can train your dog to fetch a stick or something, or if you're a coachman, coach in the old days, you get up and you make a click with your tongue, and the horses know that this is the signal to start moving. So these animals, they get conditioned to understand that certain very abstract and small signals trigger a certain response to run or something. And we had been triggered to fall into a trauma or hate somebody. The mention of a Holocaust is supposed to, the Jew is the victim and the Germans are evil. And that's why, like as Monica just said, paragraph 130 in Germany also forbids to ever say a single favorable word about National Socialism. At the same time that the Jews are always the victims. And I knew that by raising my arm, that is one of those signals, abstract signals that triggers these the programming. So when Monica came into Monica was already in prison for 6 months, and I came into the courtroom from freedom still. And when she was brought into the courtroom, I hadn't seen her for 6 months. So my arm, and there's a row of paparazzi there, photographers and so forth. So I raised my right arm without saying a word. And then I gave Monica a big hug after they got the handcuffs off her. And then I turned around to the paparazzi and I says, yeah, I have a dog that can jump this high. And I raised my arm again, did a Roman salute. And I knew that that would get them all in a tizzy. And yes, that it did. For that gesture, because initially I was charged for for Holocaust denial because of my videos. But then they did a new trial about almost a year later, and it was just about this, what they called the Nazi salute, you know, the Hitler greeting or something. And that was four years. And in hindsight, I have to say this also, in hindsight, it was a blessing that they upped my sentence from 38 months to 48 months, which was 4 years, because of this COVID scam that was taking place now. And 3 weeks before I was released, they had lifted their mask mandate in the prison, and they let me out of isolation mode. Like, I was in for 558 days, for a year and a half, I was in secluded, like, isolation mode in the prison because of because I wasn't very cooperative with this mask stuff. And I just want to say a little incident of the many things that happened in prison.
Just before you do that, Alfred, you do that, just to, in one word, to summarize the answer to Janice's question, why you ended up in jail, it's for words, that you were educating people in your videos. It's just for words. Just to be clear, Alfred didn't go around smashing things or didn't go robbing banks. It's for words. There you go.
Thank you so much. All right, guys, we'll be back next week.
I wanna lay like this. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.